Hey guys, this is Vyom Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. Today we will be looking at Mitsui. Mitsui is a Japanese trading company that Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway recently invested in. Today we will be looking at Mitsui's company profile, the key ratios, looking at the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis to figure out the intrinsic value of the company, and finally do an expected rate of return calculation to see if we were to invest in Mitsui at the current stock price, what kind of return can we expect on that investment? So let's dive in and look at Mitsui.
Hey guys, I am on Mitsui's indicative report for 2020. And on page 76 of this report, Mitsui goes into detail about its operating segments. And this is a good place for us to know the business segments of the company. Mitsui's first business segment is the iron and steel products. The second is mineral and metal resources. Third is energy. Fourth is machinery and infrastructure. Fifth is chemicals. Sixth is lifestyle. Seventh is innovation and corporate development. Then there's a lump of others and adjustments to earnings. However, when we look at just the operating segments, we can see that Mitsui has seven operating segments. Over here, Mitsui gives us an insight on its operating cash flow. We can see that mineral and metal resources, energy, and machinery and infrastructure makes up the lion's share of Mitsui's operating cash flow. When looking at the composition of the gross profit, we can see that the same three segments, minerals and metal resources, energy and machinery and infrastructure, make up the majority of Mitsui's gross profit. And lastly, when we're looking at the assets, we can see that the same three segments, minerals and metal resources, energy and machinery, make up the majority of Mitsui's assets. So this goes to show that Mitsui's three largest operating segments are metals and mineral resources, energy, and machinery and infrastructure. Hey guys, now let's look at Mitsui's key ratios. I'm on Morningstar looking at Mitsui and Company under key ratios, looking at the financials. Most of the numbers that we'll see here are going to be in Japanese yen. And when it comes to the time of doing the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis and the expected rate of return calculations, we'll convert the Japanese yen to US dollar and vice versa. The first item on the list is the revenue. The revenue is the top line of the company, that is the amount of money generated from the sales. Over here, we can see that Mitsui's revenue back in 2011 was about $4.6 trillion, and that number has grown to about $6.9 trillion as of 2020. When we look at the operating income, which is the amount of money generated from the company's operating segments, we can see that back in 2011, Mitsui's operating income was $317 billion, and it dropped down to about $254 billion in 2020. So this is a downward trend, and ideally we want to see the operating income increase when the revenue increases. So there are a couple of reasons why the operating income declined. One of the reasons is the cost of goods increased, and the other one is the operating expenses increased. The third item on the list is the net income. The net income is the bottom line of the company. This is the amount of money that's left over after the company pays for all the expenses, the interest, the taxes, and so forth. We can see that back in 2011, Mitsui had about 307 billion yen as its net income, and that number grew to about 392 billion yen as of 2020. So even though we can see that over the past 10 years, Mitsui's revenue increased by $2 trillion, when it comes to net income, it only increased by about 85 billion yen. Next, looking at the dividends, back in 2011, Mitsui paid out about 47 yen as dividend. And that number grew to about 80 yen as of 2020. When we look at the payout ratio, which is a comparison of the company's dividend to its earnings, we can see that the payout ratio has been fairly manageable over the years. There have been a couple of years where the dividend payout ratio spiked up, potentially because of a decline in the earnings or an increased dividend. However, for the year 2020, the payout ratio is about 35%, and such a payout ratio is sustainable into the future. Next is the book value per share. This is in US dollars. And the way Morningstar calculates its book value is it subtracts the total liabilities of a company from its total assets. We can see that back in 2013, Mitsui's book value was about $17 per share. And that number has grown to about $23.5 per share as of 2020. Finally, looking at the free cash flow, the way free cash flow is calculated is by subtracting capital spending from operating cash flow. We can see that back in 2011, Mitsui's free cash flow was about 191 billion yen, and it grew to about 238 billion yen as of 2020. We can see that over the past 10 years, the free cash flows has always stayed positive. I will be using the past 10 years of free cash flows from my expected rate of return calculation, and I will be using the 2020 figure of 238,537,000,000 yen for my DCF, discounted free cash flow analysis. Next, looking at the profitability of the company, the first item on the list is the net margin. The net margin is the comparison of the company's net income to its revenue, so it compares the company's bottom line to its top line. We can see that back in 2011, Mitsui's net margin was about 6.55%, and that number stayed fairly consistent over the years. For the year 2020, Mitsui's net margin is about 5.7%. After that, looking at the return on equity, the return on equity is the ratio of the company's net income to its shareholders' equity. Warren Buffett likes to see the return on equity to be about 8% every year for the past 10 years. We can see that Mitsui's return on equity back in 2011 was about 13%, and it stayed fairly consistent over the years. For the year 2020, it's about 10%. We can see that over the past 10 years, Mitsui only had a couple of years where the return on equity dipped below 8%. After that, looking at the return on invested capital, the return on invested capital gives us an idea of how good the management is at investing the capital and getting a return on that investment. We can see that back in 2011, Mitsui's return on invested capital was about 5.34%. And for the year 2020, it's about 4.86%. The return on invested capital over the years have been a little subpar when compared to its competitors such as ITOCHU. And finally, looking at the interest coverage, the interest coverage is the ratio of the company's interest obligations to its net income. Benjamin Graham, the father of value investing, preferred to only invest in companies that have an interest coverage of 5 times or higher. And we can see that over the past few years, the interest coverage has been greater than 5 times. We can see that for the year 2020, Mitsui's interest coverage is 6.96 times. This means that Mitsui can pay off its interest obligations 6.96 times using its 2020 net income. Next, looking at the financial health, focusing on the current ratio. The current ratio is the comparison of the company's current assets to its current liabilities. We want to invest in companies that have a current ratio of greater than 1.0. It's even better if the ratio is greater than 1.5. And we can see that Mitsui's current ratio has always been greater than 1.5 over the past 10 years. For the year 2020, Mitsui's current ratio is 1.53 times. This means that every dollar that Mitsui has coming due in the next 12 months, it has $1.53 of assets to cover that obligation. Next is the financial leverage. We can see that back in 2011, Mitsui's financial leverage was 3.63, and that number has stayed fairly consistent over the years. For the year 2020, Mitsui's financial leverage is 3.09. This financial leverage is comparable to its competitors. And finally, looking at the debt-to-equity ratio, this ratio gives us an idea of the company's total debt to its shareholders' equity. We can see that back in 2011, Mitsui's debt-to-equity ratio was about 1.19, and for the year 2020, it's about 1.11. Ideally, we want to invest in companies that have a debt-to-equity ratio of less than 1. However, when we compare this debt-to-equity ratio to its competitors, we can see that such a debt-to-equity ratio is industry standard. Next, looking at the efficiency ratios, the first one on the list is the day sales outstanding. This number gives us an idea of how many days go by from the day Mitsui records or recognizes the revenue to the day it actually receives cash for the service that was rendered. We can see that back in 2011, it took Mitsui 128 days. And that number has dropped down to 90 days for 2020. So a declining trend is definitely something we want to see when it comes to the day sales outstanding. Next is the day's inventory. This number gives us an idea of how many days does Mitsui's products sit in the inventory. Back in 2011, Mitsui's products sat in the inventory for 46 days. And for the year 2020, Mitsui's products sit in the inventory for about 35 days. So there has been a decline in the number of days that Mitsui's products stay in the inventory. The day's inventory goes hand in hand with the inventory turnover. The inventory turnover gives us an idea of how many times does Mitsui's inventory go through its system in a calendar year. Back in 2011, Mitsui's turnover was 7.86 times. And for the year 2020, Mitsui's inventory turnover is about 10.41 times. This means that for the year 2020, Mitsui's inventory went through its system 10.41 times. Now let's look at the valuations of the company. Over here, we will be comparing Mitsui to the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is the aggregate of the top 500 companies in the United States. The first valuation metric is the price-to-earnings ratio. we can see that Mitsui's PE ratio is about 11.6 as compared to the S&P 500, which is 25.3. Mitsui's price to book ratio is 0.8 as compared to S&P 500, which is 3.4. Mitsui's price to sales is 0.5 as compared to S&P 500, which is at 2.4. Mitsui's price to cash flow is at 5.3 as compared to S&P 500, which is at 14.5. And lastly, the dividend yield. Mitsui's dividend yield is 4.4% as compared to S&P 500, which is at 2%. From all these valuation criteria, we can see that Mitsui is clearly undervalued when compared to the S&P 500. Hey guys, now let's look at the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis for Mitsui. Over here, I entered Mitsui's 2020 free cash flow number, which was actually 238,537,000,000 yen. I divided it by 105 because one US dollar is equal to about 105 Japanese yen. So Mitsui's current year's free cash flow turns out to be about $2,272 million. I'm assuming that Mitsui's free cash flow will grow at 3% every year for the next 10 years. I'm using a discount rate of 10%. I'm using a long-term growth rate of 2%. What this means is I'm assuming that Mitsui's free cash flow will grow at 2% after the 10-year mark into perpetuity. The shares outstanding are 1,707 million shares. And finally, looking at Mitsui's long-term debt, which is actually 4,229,218,000,000 yen, which when we divide it by 105 to get the US dollar value, comes out to about $40,278 million. After taking all of these inputs and assumptions into account, we get Mitsui's intrinsic value to be a negative number. The reason why we're getting a negative intrinsic value number is because our free cash flow is not growing fast enough and accumulating to cover up this long-term debt. So if we just disregard this long-term debt and make it zero, we can see that the intrinsic value of Mitsui comes out to about $17.67 per share, which is about 1,855 yen. If we compare this to the current stock price, which is $17.25, which is about 1,811.25 yen, we can see that the current stock price is right in the ballpark of where the intrinsic value is. So there is not a big discrepancy for us to say that this current stock price is overvalued or undervalued. I would say it is fairly valued when we disregard the long-term debt for the company. Lastly, the way we calculate this intrinsic value is by looking at what the free cash flows would be for the first 10 years. We add those free cash flows up and get the sum to be $16,107 million. Then we add the free cash flows from the 10-year mark into perpetuity up and get that number to be $14,052 million. Then we add the free cash flows for the first 10 years and from the 10-year mark into perpetuity up and get the intrinsic value to be $30,160 million. After that, we subtract the long-term debt from this number, which in this case is $0, and divide by the shares outstanding to get the intrinsic value per share to be about $17.67. Hey guys, now let's look at the expected rate of return calculation for Mitsui. Over here, I pasted the past 10 years of free cash flows. I got these numbers from Morningstar. Just a reminder, all the numbers here are in millions of Japanese yen. This is the yearly free cash flow trend that we get for Mitsui's past 10 years. We can see that Mitsui's free cash flow doubled up in the past couple of years. Next, looking at the future data and predictions, I'm assuming that there is a 25% likelihood that Mitsui's free cash flow will grow at 5%. There's a 50% likelihood that Mitsui's free cash flow will grow at 2%. And there's a 25% likelihood that Mitsui's free cash flow will decline at 3%. After taking into account these predictions, we can see the potential free cash flow raise that we get into the future. Then taking into account the numbers of shares outstanding, which is 1,707 million shares. At the current stock price of $17.25, which with the conversion factor of one US dollar equaling 205 Japanese yen, comes out to about 1,811 Japanese yen as the share price of Mitsui. After taking into account the future data and predictions, the numbers of shares outstanding, and the current stock price, we get the expected rate of return for Mitsui to be about 7.5%. What this means is if we were to purchase a share of Mitsui at the current stock price of $17.25, we can expect to get a return of about 7.5% on that investment. Hey guys, now let's wrap it all up. We saw that Mitsui's revenue has been increasing for the past 10 years. There has been a slight improvement in Mitsui's net income. Mitsui's dividends have been increasing every year, and the payout ratio is sustainable into the future. We saw that Mitsui's return on equity has been greater than 8% for the past few years, and the interest coverage has been greater than 5 times for the past 10 years. The current ratio, financial leverage, and the debt-to-equity ratio all show that Mitsui is financially secure and comparable to its competitors. We saw that over the past 10 years, Mitsui has gotten more efficient with its inventory and its day sales outstanding. After that, when we compared Mitsui to S&P 500, we saw that on all the valuation metrics, Mitsui was undervalued to the S&P 500. When we performed the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis, we saw that Mitsui's intrinsic value was negative. This was because Mitsui's free cash flow was not growing fast enough and becoming large enough to counter its long-term debt. After we disregarded the long-term debt, we got the intrinsic value of Mitsui to be about $18 per share, which is comparable to the current stock price of about $17.25 per share. So I would neither consider Mitsui to be overvalued or undervalued at the current stock price. Next, we looked at the expected rate of return calculation and saw that if we were to invest in Mitsui at the current stock price of $17.25 per share, we can expect to get a return of about 7.5% on that investment. After looking at the business segments, we can see that Mitsui is a diversified conglomerate, and Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway has already taken a stake in this company. Finally, after looking at the fundamentals of Mitsui, when we compare that to the fundamentals of ITOCHU and Mitsubishi, which are two of the companies that we have reviewed in the past couple of weeks, we can see that both ITOCHU and Mitsubishi have greater margin of safety and have better fundamentals than Mitsui does. So if we had to pick between which trading company to invest in, both ITOCHU and Mitsubishi would be a better bet than Mitsui. Hey guys, that is all I have for you this week. Hopefully you found this video interesting. Please do like, share, comment, and subscribe to my channel. If you have any suggestions or comments as to which stock I should review next, please leave it in the comment section below. I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you.